Thanks for tuning into The Image Check with Pastors Claude and Rosa Bevere and the Image of God Christian Center Church family. God's Word tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being changed into the same image. We believe that as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we are being changed. So prepare your heart and minds today as we together discover our true identity in Christ.
Look at verse 14. The natural man receiveth. Circle the word receiveth. You know what receive mean? One translation means takes into possession or appropriates for oneself. See, the things of God that he has prepared for you have to be received spiritually. You can't receive them in the natural realm. Hear what I'm saying? You can't sit there and try to figure God out with your head. That's the problem right there. And then we got people preaching intellectualism to the body of Christ and everybody trying to figure God out. Christian Science, Christian this, Christian that. That ain't Christian. The word Christian means to be like Jesus. Jesus didn't figure out God with his head. You hear what I'm saying? You're not going to figure it out with your head. You're not going to figure out why you're blessed already and it look like you ain't got no soup in your kitchen. See, God calls things that be not as though they were. God doesn't look at the situation and say, oh my God, you got a flat tire. No, God speaks to the rim. In order for you to receive God's things that he's prepared for you, you have to receive them spiritually. You got to be a person that worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't be hanging out in the club, getting your freak neek on and sipping on scissor. I'm just being blunt and being, you can't be doing that. You can't be sleeping around thinking you're going to understand spiritual things. It's not going to happen. You'll be deprived of every promise of God. Do you know when the Bible says in the book of Galatians that the person that is a whoremonger, adulterer, and all this other stuff, and fornicator and all this, and then it says, I told you in times past that these kind of people will not inherit the kingdom, not inherit the kingdom. Now, you need to read the Bible right. The word inherit means it belongs to you. So he's telling you, and he's not talking about heaven. He's telling you that you will not be able to obtain your inheritance that belongs to you. Why? Because these things over here are hindering you. Lord have mercy. Somebody catch what I'm saying. Amen. All the promises of God are yea and amen. God ain't rolling dice with us. God ain't casting no lots. You better catch this in your spirit. God ain't going to say something and make you just, he ain't going to be like that cartoon character with the stake on a string. Show you the stake and be like, and pull the stake. Come on, somebody say amen. God don't play games like that. See, God has an agenda, and his agenda is bigger than just you and your piece of steak. His agenda is all the earth being filled with his glory, amen, being filled with the knowledge of his word. Amen. His agenda is bigger than just the four walls of Image of God Christian Center Church. His agenda is every person in this city, every business in this city, every school in this city. You got to quit talking negative about everything and start decreeing the word of God. Why? Because God wants to manifest himself, amen, in every part. But people have laid no expectation on the anointing that will remove the burdens and destroy the yokes. The reason why is because we haven't been taught the kingdom of God. We've been taught churchology. And churchology cannot possess kingdom. That's why Nicodemus came. Lord have mercy. He came, like I said this morning to somebody, he came by night to see Jesus. He was afraid to show up and show his face with Jesus in the daytime because Jesus was being ridiculed by all the Sanhedrin, all the Pharisees, all the Sadducees because they was sad, you see. You hear what I'm saying? So because he was religious-minded, he wouldn't hear. And he hung around Jesus. And he said, I know you got to be a man that comes from God. No man could get these things and understand these things except God was with him. They couldn't do these things except God was with him. But I can't figure you out. And Jesus said, look, the wind blows wherever it wants. Jesus was messing with him. Come on, somebody say Jesus was messing with him. He knew he couldn't understand it. He said the wind blows where it won't, but wherever it, he said a word like listeth. It blows where it listeth. And then you don't understand the sound thereof, but yet it's there and all that stuff like that. He was just messing with him. You know, like he was like Nicodemus was smoking weed or something. Don't get mad at me, y'all. Jesus was messing with him. Then he turned around and said, listen, you can't understand what I'm talking about except you get born again. And then what did he do? He tried to figure out something kingdom-minded with his head. He was like, I'm 50 years old, and when I came out my mother's womb, I was 7 pounds and 5 ounces. Now, if I was 7 pounds, 5 ounces, maybe I can get back up in there and get born again. Come on, this is what he was thinking about. But I'm 50. How am I going to be born a second time? Come on, somebody catch what I'm saying. I'm trying to give you a principle. Things of God are understood spiritually. Jesus was speaking to the man in a parable. But then he got along with his disciples and he said, guess what? I talk to them in parables, but to you it is given unto you to know the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you right now, there's some mysteries. There are some secrets being taught here. And if you are intelligent enough to become a little child, you can enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to have to become a little child to understand this. I'm telling you this right now. Jesus said you can no ways enter into the kingdom except you become like a little child. Again, he was speaking a parable. He was saying that your natural mind can't understand what I'm talking about. This is spiritually discerned. Lord Jesus, help me. Can I have 5 more minutes? Here we go. That's the solution. We have to become spiritual. In order for you to become spiritual, now you are spiritual in the mind of God, but in order for you to become spiritual, your diet has to be God's word. Amen. You have to be a person of prayer. Amen. You have to be a person of consistent, unbroken fellowship and relationship with God. You have to. Listen, you can't just keep doing whatever you want to do and think you're going to be what God called you to be. Guess what? You'll die full. You'll die full. You know what potential is? Potential is untapped resources that's on the inside of every last one of us. And God put you here to realize your potential. He didn't put you here just to realize somebody else's potential. But what he did do is he put you around other people that you can help them so that you can watch the system so that you can know when it's time for you to realize yours, how to do it. Somebody caught what I just said. See, I wouldn't be up here realizing my potential if I didn't aid Pastor Healy for 11 years. But the problem is, help me, Holy Ghost, why you take me here, but I got to do it. Here's the problem right here. People want to be Lone Ranger. They want to get on their horse and ride it all by themselves. You know what I mean? This is my kingdom. This is my calling. This is mine. God know what you called to do. I can tell you right now, every person in here is called to greatness. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. The reason why few are chosen, because not many answer the call. You want to know what the call is? When God called Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 2, the Bible said he called him unto himself. That's the call. See, he ain't calling you to try to figure out how you're going to make your destiny happen. He's calling you to himself. When you answer the call of prayer, when you answer the call of fasting, when you answer the call of worship, when you answer the call of praise, God is on the line. And everybody always saying he always picks up. But guess what? Are you picking up? Is he dialing your number and you sitting there let it ring? Are you pressing ignore? God sending emails and you got a whole inbox full of them. Why? Because you ain't answering the call. He called Moses unto himself and then began to speak sweet things in Moses' ear. Moses said, God, he said, who shall I say send him? God told him the biggest thing he could ever answer. He said, I am that I am. Better catch what I'm saying. What was he saying? You translated it in Hebrew. He said, I am the self-existent. I am the self-sufficient one. Everything that you need, I am. So don't go chasing a job. Chase God. Lord, have mercy. See, I'm going to finish right here. Galatians 6 and 7 says that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Come on, say that. Say, if I sow something, I'm going to reap something. Now, you need to get this in your spirit. You can never outgive God. Never. I was battling. I gotta say, Lord, y'all gonna let me talk, right? I was battling. I said, Lord, am I supposed to pay the bills of the church first and then tithe off of the gross? I mean, tithe off of what's left, or am I supposed to do this? And I called a pastor that had been doing it for a while. Somebody say, for a while. You know what he said to me? He said, Claude, the answer is, you can't outgive God. See, we keep rationalizing and trying to figure God out in our head. How can, Lord have mercy, I'm going to show it to you in the word. Somebody say, in the word. In the word. If God gives a word, I want you to write this down. If God gives a promise, it will surely come to pass. Period. Period. Write Isaiah 55 down. Read the whole chapter. Don't just be lazy and read one verse. Read the whole chapter. He said, when my word goes out of my mouth, he said, it will not return to me void. The word void means empty handed. See, God don't do something without purpose. When he sends a word, he expects something to come back. Okay? Have we settled that? So if God has given you a promise, if God has spoken a word to you, he will bring it to pass. You hear what I'm saying? He will surely bring it to pass. But our job is to abide in the word that he speaks. If you look in John chapter 15, you look at the word, it's not the word logos. It's the word rhema. Abide in the spoken word. See, when God speaks something to you, you have to grab that word, whether it be a prophetic word. And listen, all of God's word spoken is prophetic. I just want you to know that. I'm preaching up here today, and everything that I'm saying is prophetic. Not because of me, but because of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. I couldn't do this on my own power. So now that I am speaking, God is releasing word. And guess what? This word breaks down into enough categories to where every person in here can hear from God individually. And it's your responsibility to grab what God is saying to you and to abide in it. So you go home and you say, Lord, you spoke to me that I'm going to be a missionary. I believe I receive it. And I'm going to get on the internet. I'm going to start studying. What is it to be a missionary? I'm going to start getting my information right. And I'm going to start doing what? Answering the call of prayer. I'm going to come to prayer. I'm going to come to intercessory. Every time the doors is open, I'm going to be at the church to hear the word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can't develop faith sitting on the TV watching the Waltons. Amen. Much as I love Little House on the Prairie, you can't develop faith watching Little House on the Prairie. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I watched The Expendables last night. That didn't give me no faith. It was a good movie. I loved it. All the superstars was in there, and it was karate kicking and Jet Li in, and I was like, Lord, have mercy. Oh, man, ah, oh, he's slamming like that. Bah. But guess what? That didn't give me no faith. That gave me a little bit of entertainment. If I'm going to get faith, and guess what? Let me just say something. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, you're not pleasing God. Here we go. So when God gives a word, it will surely come to pass. No question about it. But you need to understand that everything that God gives has an appointed time and appointed season. Genesis 8 and 22 says, as long as the earth remains, there is seed. Somebody say seed. Then there is time. Then there is harvest. We want to skip over the time and get the harvest. We want to plant today and wake up tomorrow. And come on, somebody say amen. Do you know why God does not allow you to get the harvest before it's time? Imagine putting a cake in the oven, Carmen. You put the cake in the oven. You done did all that time working getting the eggs in there. I don't know how to make a cake, but I'm just going to make it up. You put the eggs in there, and whatever it is, you mix it all up. When I was a kid, I used to take my finger around the bowl like this right here. Come on, somebody say amen. But you put that cake in the oven, and then 5 minutes later, because you so hungry, you ain't H-U-N-G-R-Y, you H-O-N-G-R-Y, you hungry. You so hungry, you go in and open up the oven and pull the cake out before it's time. See, when you get things before it's time, you're not prepared for it, and neither is it prepared. That's why when God spoke to Abraham, and he told Abraham, Abraham, his name was Abram, which means high father. Somebody say high father. He said, Abram, he said, You're going to bear your own child. Sarah's going to bear him. Abraham pulled the cake out of the oven before his time. And he created an Ishmael. And you know what Ishmael does? He brings problems to your household. Because he's not God's will. Pick up what I'm putting down. See, God speaks a word to you. You and I answer the call. We have to stay in the place of prayer so we can hear clearly what God is saying. Or else we'll open the oven before it's time. Are you catching what I'm saying? God loves us enough that he won't give us what we want before it's time, because we'll destroy it. Or it will destroy us. See, God ain't going to give you $1 million, amen, if you're going to turn around and catch Pookie and him and Junebug and Shoo Shoo and all them. Call them over your house. Amen. Hang up strobe lights and drink 40 ounces all week long. God ain't going to give you $1 million. Amen. God ain't going to give you $1 million if your heart ain't right. And his plan for the $1 million is that you help the poor. And you thinking about, as soon as I get it, I'm going to get that big house with the swimming pool on the inside. I'm going to get a couch to wrap around the whole yard. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say everything has a time and a season. Now, back to Galatians 6 and 9. Turn it right quick. I'm going to end this, y'all. I promise this. I gotta do this right. Galatians 6 and 9. One more time. Y'all getting something today? Yeah. This is encouraging. Somebody say encouraging. Look what it says here. It says, let us not be weary. You know what the word weary mean? Tired. I'm done. Nothing's working for me. I don't know why this is happening. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in coming to church on a regular basis. Don't get weary in serving in a local church. Don't quit and cave in. Don't get weary in giving and tithing. Don't get weary in praying and confessing. Don't get weary. Watch what he says here. He says, for in due season, I want you to circle due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You know what the word faint means? It means to cave in, to quit, to give up. Look what the Amplifier says right here. My God, help us, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm getting it. Here we go. It said, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Watch this. Look at verse 9. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. The Amplified calls due time the appointed season. Tell your neighbor, say, you have an appointed time with God. Now, just follow me. Numbers 9 and 2 says, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Numbers 9 and 3 says, in the 14th day of this month, at even, you shall keep it in his appointed season. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14, he says, that I will give you the rain of your land. I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to happen in the due season. 2 Kings 4 and 16. Now, you can follow me if you want to. You can get the tape. And the woman conceived. The woman conceived. Somebody say, the woman conceived. And she bore a son at the season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. In Abraham's life, do you know from the time that God spoke the word to Abraham to the time that Isaac manifested, him going through all the mess he went through? Somebody say seed. That's when God speaks it. Time is the mess you go through. It's the process you go through. And then harvest. From the time God spoke it to the time he harvested, it was 26 and a half years. Why 26 and a half years? Not because God, listen, made him wait. The process of time is for you and I to see who we are. Because the promise is based and built upon us seeing who we are. That's why as soon as he, right before he had Isaac, God changed his name to Abraham. God don't do nothing without purpose. His name was Abram for 26 and a half years, but then one day he gets up and the Bible said the Lord appeared to Abram. Whoo, my God. He revealed himself. This time when he was in prayer, Abram said, I got it. I am Abraham. And all of a sudden he went in there and got with his wife and bop, Isaac came out. This is a true story. You better catch what I'm saying. Your promise is not based upon natural timing. Your promise is based upon God's timing. God's timing is based upon you understanding who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're going to mess up what God's plan is. Y'all hear the stories every day. People get the lottery, they hit the lottery, and they poor a year later. They mess up the inheritance. God don't want you to mess up the inheritance. Watch this. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Just like you can't do nothing about it being winter season. The devil can't do nothing about your season. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. To everything. Somebody say everything. Well, what is a thing? Anything happening in your life. Any situation. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, believe the word. Now, I'm going to finish this right here by saying this. Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus died on purpose. And he died when the time was right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, I said this before, and you better catch this. God is outside of time. And God is looking in time to see if you're going to get who you are. Because once you know who you are, God steps from out of time into time. See, there is chronological time, the Hebrew word chronos, or the Greek word chronos. And then there is kairos time. It's the Greek word kairos. Watch this. It's the same Greek word as the word in the Hebrew use, or the Hebrew word. I got to slow down. Kairos is a synonym to the Hebrew word that we use for due season. So a due season has nothing to do with natural timing. A due season has everything to do with God's timing. Come on, somebody say amen. And in God's timing, you are not just sitting there waiting for something to happen. God is waiting for you to happen. Don't blame God. See, God's season could be a minute or it could be a day. It could be a day or it could be a month. It could be a month or it could be a year. I prove it. Peter says, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years. I'm trying to show you something. See, I'm talking over here. I'm talking kingdom. I'm not talking Babylon. Well, how is that going to happen, Pastor Claude? God's promise is not hindered by our ability, nor God's ability. God's promise is hindered by our identity. So if your identity is all totally built and based upon you knowing God, that's why Moses was drew to God. See, Christians got to quit being drawn to everything else but God. Come on, somebody say amen. We're drew to our jobs. We're drew to the hospital. We're drew to mates. We're drew to kids. We got our whole life figured out. We're drew to everything. We're answering the call to everything. That's the American dream. That ain't God's dream. I'm going to give you one more scripture and I'm going to be done. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Well, y'all got the word today, didn't you? I'm going to end with this right here. How many catch that? Do you know that your promise is based upon God's timing? Say this. Say, my promise based upon God's timing. God's timing is based upon me knowing who I am. Let me say it this way. God really isn't concerned about you getting the promise. Because he promised it. If he promised it, he's going to bring it to pass. Come on, somebody say amen. But what we do is we chase the promise instead of chasing the promiser. Now I'm going to show you how to chase the promiser. You ready? I'm telling you something right here. This will keep you. If you don't do this principle right here, you won't last very long as a Christian. Dad could tell you, he's been a pastor for I don't know how many years, him and his wife. You will not last if you don't do what I'm about to tell you to do right now. Amen. You'll just be one of those Christians that stick in the church for about 6 months and you find something that I said wrong and you leave. Amen. Come on. The turnover in churches nowadays is just phenomenal. People have no character. People have no integrity. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Just like being a basketball player, you can't be a professional basketball player if you don't show up to practice. You can't be a professional hockey player if you don't show up to practice. You can't even flip hamburgers right if you don't show up to your job. You're going to miss something because every day something new is happening. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Well, how much more? How are you going to be a real Christian if you can't show up to church? You can't show up to discipleship class. How about this? You can't show up to prayer. You can't show up to studying the word. See, I got to be a real pastor. Amen. See, the gospel is all about you and I changing. I'm not coming down on you. That's why I started off with the promise, because everybody wants the promise. But I'm showing you the pathway to the promise. God is the pathway to the promise. I promise you, you think if you in his lap with your arms around his waist talking about, Daddy, I love you, that he gonna forget that you need your light bill money? Come on, I'm talking real. Do you think that if you're in his lap and you're worshiping him and you're praising him and you're loving him, that he gonna forget that you got your house note due and your car note due? He ain't gonna forget. Matter of fact, the word says he will not forget your labor of love. I can tell you miracle after miracle. I'm gonna end with this right here. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's look at verse 18. Look what it says. It says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart. Put your hand on your heart. In your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children. Not the pastor, not the Sunday school teacher, not the children ministry worker. You shall teach them to your children. You shall teach them to your children. I'm going to church because they got a good children ministry. I remember days we didn't have children ministry. Not just our church. I remember days the church didn't have children ministry. Kids would be on fire getting the same word that the adults got. Amen. Why? Amen. Because guess what? The word of God was valued in the home. Nowadays, God's word ain't valued. Holy Ghost, help me. It's not valued. We don't place no esteem on God's word. When we're at home, God's word is outside the door. People come to church and they're like, blow the dust off before the pastor see. And then people come to church and they don't even have a Bible. You mean to tell me you don't have a Bible? Well, every store in this city probably sells a Bible. Walmart has Bibles. Kmart has Bibles. Sounds of Light has Bibles. Come on, am I preaching good? Amen. The Bible is the number one selling book. And amen, people take it and sit it on the shelf. People don't have Bibles. I'm not condemning you, but I'm trying to be a real pastor to you. You cannot survive and be a real Christian without God's word.
Amen.
You can't.
Amen.
You ready? Here we go. He said, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house. I'm not bragging. Somebody say, I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging at all. I just want to give an example. The reason why my daughter at 14 could stand up there and sing about God, when she was a kid, we spoke of it. Come on, somebody say amen. We taught of it. She heard my voice 4 o'clock in the morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree that I have abundance and no lack. She heard me said, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. She heard the word in the house. You better hear what I'm saying. Glory to God. You know your children will tell the truth on you?
Amen.
That was just a little Holy Ghost nugget. Your kids will tell the truth on you. I mean, their life will portray who you are. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, kids make mistakes. You know what I mean? My kids made mistakes, but you know what? They came back. My oldest is in there running the children ministry right now. Somebody get a little hand clap. Amen. My youngest is singing on the praise and worship team, and they have great things for their lives. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm about to finish right here. He said, you teach him, you speak of him when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. He leaving nothing exempt. He said, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house, upon your gates. Watch verse 21. This is powerful. That your days may be multiplied. This is a promise from God. That your days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven on earth. You and I were called to have days of heaven right here on earth. Come on, say that one time. Say, I am right now experiencing days of heaven on earth. So you got to say that every day. And guess what? You know what you do? You run to daddy's lap. Run to his lap. I promise you this right here. You think God is going to forget about you? Watch this. If you come to church and you serving as an usher, he ain't going to forget about you. He ain't going to forget about you if you in there and them kids screaming around, duking and spreading across the walls and stuff, and you in there caring for them and come on praying for them. You think God going to forget about you? God ain't going to forget about you. Amen? He got your back. He loves you. He loves you. I mean, what father would give his child a promise and not bring it to pass? Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, as a father, I have joy when I'm able to help my kids. I told my wife, we just helped my oldest daughter and her husband with something. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I don't regret nothing. I said, because you know what? I said, I'm able to do for my kids what wasn't done for me.
Amen.
How much more will your heavenly father give you good gifts if us being evil can give good gifts? My message today is dream on. It's harvest time. But let's add this to it. Just go ahead and jump in daddy's lap. Get secure in his arms. Spend time with him. Stand up on your feet.
Hello, this is Claude Bevere, the senior pastor of that new and great thriving church, Image of God Christian Center. I'd like to personally thank you for your continued listening and support of our radio program, The Image Check. If our program has been a blessing to you and yours, please contact us and let us know how we have been a blessing to you by sending all letters and all financial contributions to Image of God Christian Center, P.O. Box 531, Adrian, Michigan 49221. You can contact our church office also at 517-417-0000 or visit us online at www.iogccchurch.com. My wife Rosa and I and our entire church family would like to invite you and your family and your friends out to one of our exciting new church services where you can discover who God is, you can discover who you are in Christ, and finally discover what your God-given assignment is. We are conveniently located in the wonderful city of Adrian, Michigan at 1061 South Main Street. Our services are Sundays at 10:45 and Wednesdays at 6:45. Children, youth ministry, and nursery are provided for all services. Come on out and enjoy an explosive time in God's Word as we discover our true identity in Christ. God bless you.